You are now listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
And welcome to Nerds Assemble Podcast, episode 205. I'm Paul.
I'm Emily.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
And this week we're going to be discussing, since it's pretty much upon us now, the new seasons for, well, everything that's coming out.
Well, US TV shows.
Yeah, mostly US TV shows.
Because that's mostly what gets, you know, there's full autumn television, not really a big event in the UK, except for US stuff that might actually be coming out at reasonable sort of like same release day,
yeah,
or week.
Okay. Yeah, and when they don't, they bloody notice. It's like, hey, everybody's ripping off our stuff. It's, well, if you let us watch at the same time, we would, you idiots.
Hmm.
Okay, I think Paul's got a list of stuff, and we're going to, I think basically he's going to go for it until someone says they're excited about a thing. So stuff is coming out this autumn.
Okay, so starting with The Affair, season 4. Scandal, season 7. American Dad, season 14. There's been 14 seasons of American Dad.
What?
Not excited, just horrified. How about that?
I think season 14 of American Dad is just like par for the course for 2017.
See, I remember in the 90s when you used to get like 7 seasons of something and that was a long-running TV show. And then, boom.
Then the fucking Simpsons happened.
Yeah, and then South Park is on its 21st or 22nd season. Or something like that. Yeah. Like, when will these things end?
You know, I'm not saying anything about this, but I am opening up my booze.
What else?
We've already got our booze.
What else?
Anyway, Empire season 4. Red Oaks season 3. Strike Back season 6. The Flash season 4.
Yay!
Found something.
Yeah. Well, The Flash was good last season. And it was building up. But we could see what's happened to good old Mr. Barry Allen.
We watched most of the first season. Then, I think I've said this before, we somehow missed the final episode because we watched, like, you know, the start of the first one of season 2.
Oh yeah.
I thought, hang on, what the hell's going on here? And then went back and, you know, sort of realised about 10 minutes into the episode that we really didn't give a shit.
Well.
So let's watch something else instead. Like, I think there's a test card JPEG I downloaded. We could watch that instead.
I think with DC stuff. So you've got The Flash, you've got Arrow, you've got Supergirl, yay, you've got
Arrow. I didn't watch. Arrow's the one thing I didn't watch the full season of last year.
Mm.
I still haven't watched all of that.
But I mean, if you think about it, that's 4 TV shows that are pretty much on at the same time and all, to a certain extent, as far as I can tell, interacting with each other slightly.
Yeah, there's some crossovers.
Isn't there also Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
I watched the first half of the pilot for, I found it to be utterly fucking dire,
yeah,
and never bothered again.
That's.
I don't care if this
fair.
Is Rory from Doctor Who. I don't care. This is bad.
But can we, just to clarify, Cookie is excited for the new season of The Flash.
The Flash, yes. Definitely.
Someone has to be.
I think, let's continue. There's a long list.
The Blacklist, season 5.
Yay!
Oh, we got Arrows on season 8?
No, six.
Sorry. That was a very strange font. Season 6, though. I'm actually surprised it's on season 6.
Arrow season 5. Well, all I've got to say is I still haven't watched all of it, so that's got to tell you something.
I do remember there being some upset with Arrow in the sense that like, obviously, one of the recent seasons of Arrow was out, and Daredevil season 2 happened, and you had Arrow fans going, God, the second season of Daredevil's better than the current season of Arrow, and there was...
Wow.
And that was on Reddit.
That's a bit like a Trekkie turnaround saying that Star Wars is better than Star Trek currently.
Now, hang on, wait a minute. Now, hang on.
I know that's never happened, but...
I've never got the whole rivalry thing. So far as I'm concerned, there is no rivalry. That's like a manufactured thing. I like both.
I like both, but it's a bit like talking about Sega fans and Nintendo fans in the 90s, isn't it?
Mm. There can be only one type thing.
Sonic versus Mario.
Or you can buy one and then go around to your mate's house and play theirs, and that everyone wins. So who really gives a shit?
Is there going to be more Black Mirror? Nothing's been decided since they made that jump to Netflix. Yeah, so,
two things. One, Netflix are always a little bit quiet on that, aren't they?
Yeah, very true.
And two, I think Charlie Brooker won an Emmy last night.
But. What's it? Channel 4 have got that Philip K. Dick series starting.
It's Electric Dreams, which started last night.
Yeah,
which I am hearing good things about.
We got to catch up with that on all 4.
Okay. So Missed the Hunted, season 3.
Well, that's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
So fuck that, in other words.
Supergirl, season 3.
Yep.
Yay!
Yeah.
Something called The End of the Fucking World.
That's an E4. That's an E4 show that has no exact date time for this year, according to Geektown. So whether or not that's actually cancelled is another thing altogether. Oh, look, there's Legends of Tomorrow season 3.
Haven't watched season 2 yet. So
the question becomes, when are they going to prune the series? Season 5?
The final season!
Which one?
Episodes, which is the one with Stephen Mangan and Tamsin Greig and Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
So it's been going quite a while, and I'm not entirely sure whether it's necessarily jumped the shark, but it's quite funny and depressing at the same time. It's very poignant. NCIS New Orleans season 3.
Well, I know my parents and middle brother will be excited for that once it's finally being shown in the UK, but I can't imagine that happening soon.
What do you mean, your parents' middle brother?
And my middle brother.
Oh, your parents and your middle brother.
Yeah, there was a comma and some other words there. You misheard.
I was like, is there some family that I don't know about?
Unless there's been some kind of transporter accident.
Grey's Anatomy season 14.
What was that?
No. Black Mirror season 4 has been confirmed, complete with guest director Jodie Foster.
Ooh.
I am confirmed excited by that.
Yay. I'm slightly...
Yes, all written by Charlie Brooker as well.
I'm slightly perturbed by the fact that Grey's Anatomy is going into season 14 this year.
Can we please just have things lasting maybe 6 or 7 seasons and then get knocked on the head?
It depends if it's any good.
Jeez.
Yeah, but most of these things which are continuing are not.
I think they certainly feel like sometimes they don't know when to call it a day.
Drop it.
So I'm sure some of them are just, you know, hang on, didn't we do this like 10 years ago, this episode?
Yeah.
And someone's just tip-exed out the date.
Okay, so we've got more Narcos coming our way. I still haven't got through season 1. That's season 3 apparently is coming out. More Shameless in the US version.
Gotham season 3?
Is it Gotham? No, it won't be Gotham season 3. I think that's its Netflix season release date.
All right.
But
Gotham season 4.
Yeah, it'll be season 4.
There's already been a season 3 and watched it, and it was better than season two, which is a little bit like I prefer that to to a kick in the bollocks.
Cool.
More Expanse coming to Netflix.
Woohoo!
But obviously, BoJack season four's already come out on Netflix. American Horror Story Cult season 7 has started.
And I am hearing very mixed ummings about that. Lots of people who said that the last season was really bad, and I quite liked it. That was the one I told you a lot about, which was like the reality TV kind of haunted house one. They mixed it together where they had things which were supposed to happen at this remote house, and they had interviews with people who said that those things had happened and were at the house, and they had reenactments. And then the latter half of the season was taking the actors and the people from who had lived in the house back to the house and seeing what happens for shits and giggles.
Oh my god!
Clue, nothing good.
Okay. Apparently more Outlanders heading to Amazon Prime, but I don't know, because Outlander's a bit weird in terms of like what seasons we're actually on over here. South Park season 21 is starting, or has started rather. Obviously we said Philip K. Dick. I think we should link to the Skink Town thing for everyone in the show notes, just that everyone else can look at it. In terms of UK telly, I've just been alarmed to learn that the 8th season of Doc Martin is returning this week.
You'll be overjoyed by that, I'm sure.
Yes, and it's weird representation of Cornwall.
Oh, Amazon Prime's got a 4th season of Transparent coming out.
And Star Trek Discovery season 1 comes to Netflix on the 25th of September.
Yes. I'm kind of excited by that.
Yes.
Are you slightly apprehensive at all? Because I know there's been, even though, as far as I'm aware, nothing's really been kind of released about it, there's been a lot of hoo-ha about it not feeling like Star Trek.
We'll see. I'll be the judge of that. There are people who watched more episodes of Voyager on Netflix than they did the original series on Next Generation. So everyone's a moron except me.
Get Deep Space Nine there as well.
There were no episodes of DS9 on the most rewatched, which I can only think that we are long overdue giant asteroid.
Wow. The Deuce.
Well, not that I'm judging harshly or anything, but it's. I think on balance, we need an extension level event if more people are rewatching Voyager than Kirk and Spock and.
Moving on, The Deuce season 1 is coming out, and I've seen some teasers for that. It's about the Deuce season 1 that's coming to Sky Atlantic. It's a drama about the legislation and subsequent rise of the porn industry in New York during the 70s and 80s. It's from the same people that created The Wire, which I've just started watching. So
interesting. Now it was like, and then you said The Wire, and it was like, oh.
Yeah, so it's a HBO series.
Since that is you'll know yourself that the reputation of The Wire precedes it.
But
it is a good series.
Oh, Criminal Minds season 13, the Geek Town have got it optimistically down for heading to Sky Living in October. I mean, Criminal Minds is an interesting one because I haven't seen season 12 because it got taken off of a box set rewatch. Basically, it wasn't available for rewatch this year, and it was just like, oh. So I've managed to catch up to end of season 11 of Criminal Minds. I'm waiting for it to come back to Sky so that season 12 is suddenly available. Then I'm going to blitz season 12 and hopefully not miss season 13 as it airs.
Cool.
That's my optimism, but it's a 20-episode series season.
But then again, we're still getting through Westworld.
Yeah, we'll be finished with Westworld by the time Criminal Minds gets back on TV over here.
I mean, presumably that'll be coming back.
Yes.
And you'll be looking at the new season and saying, oh, that doesn't look like anything to me.
There's hope that is Punisher.
If you see, do you see the reference? See,
yeah,
lovely done. Yeah,
just, Punisher should be out on Netflix. This,
yay!
And here's me thinking that was the Defenders because it was certainly a bit of a punish to watch it.
Oh, Lucifer season 3 is back on Amazon Prime in October.
Yes. I am massively. We were just. I'll save that until later. But yes, it did come up in conversation in this household. But you know, when's Lucifer back on telly?
There is something called Dimension 404, which I'm pretty sure that Freddie Wong has something to do with.
It's coming to Sci-Fi UK in October.
Season 1.
Once Upon a Time season 7, heading to Netflix in October.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that because, as far as I'm aware, they're kind of doing away with a lot of the cast.
Gone,
sorry?
Well, I was going to say they've all gone, haven't they, the cast?
Riverdale season 2 starting on Netflix in October, which I assume means that we're getting it the same release as the US screenings, because that's what happened last time. Mr. Robot season 3 turning to Amazon Prime in October. I haven't finished watching season 2. Season 12 of Red Dwarf they're saying for October on Dave.
I'm kind of cautiously optimistic for that, but
we got. I mean, they have it because it's Geek Town. They're looking at UK screens. I'm going to point out that Supernatural's back on October 12th in the US, and there's already a promo video for season 13 of Supernatural. Promo video around.
Is this one subtitled "Their Retirement Plan"?
No, it looks very much like they're still quite busy dealing with plot threads that were obviously left hanging in the wind, well, at least some of them, at the end of the previous season.
Well, they're very good at that. They kind of, there's a big thing that we have to do, and we'll spend maybe the first two episodes addressing that, and then we'll just go off and do stuff.
But there's no confirmed E4 air date yet, despite people pressing them on Twitter to reveal something. I get the feeling they're going to wait again, probably till like January, which is what they've done the last couple of seasons. And then because they'll have avoided like one of the main breaks or something, then they'll be able to show it uninterrupted. And then due to all the breaks that happen in the US, we'll end up almost a week behind the US again. That's if E4 are actually going to continue to show Supernatural, because it hasn't been confirmed.
Is it this season with the Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, season 13, yeah.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo episode's happening. What's happening on the 23rd of October, Paul?
The Walking Dead season 8.
It's returning to Fox.
Woo! Oh, man. Gotta have some of that.
God, October's a bit of a... We're a bit spoiled because Stranger Things season 2 is back on Netflix.
Yes.
Or it's on Netflix rather than coming to Netflix.
Nah, you're talking.
Sort of around 27th.
October is the best month for new things coming and, you know, things coming back.
Oh, and AMC have got their TV adaptation of Snatch coming out at the end of October. It's got Rupert Grint in it.
Yep.
Based on the Guy Ritchie movie.
I think I can actually happily ignore the fact that Big Bang Theory season 11 is heading to E4 at some point in November, probably.
I quite enjoy it, but The Librarians is something that I want to watch at some point, because I think that's got the guy that played Lindsay in Angel.
Mm.
It's on Sci-Fi, but unfortunately Now TV doesn't get Sci-Fi. So I'm not entirely sure whether it will be on the catch-up service or anything.
I think basically after that point, that the main, like for this year, like the main thing left to come is like the Doctor Who season special. That's the main UK telly event that I wouldn't go on past that point. Oh, but season.
Hang on.
What?
You're missing some now, aren't you?
What are we missing?
Well, next Monday is the US premiere of Young Sheldon, which actually looks quite amusing.
Oh, God. Amusing or cringeworthy, considering the fact that the main series has managed to completely ignore the fact of basically saying Sheldon has autism of some description. And it's just like, he's just different, and we're just going to treat it like that. We're not going to label him. And it's like, no, if he was an actual person living, he would have a diagnosis, and hopefully on account of the amount of money he earns and stuff, he would actually have some help.
That just kind of smacks to me of the, we're going to play with all these stereotypes and we're going to do all these things, but we're not actually going to put a name to it, because then if we did, we'd have to be responsible and stick to rules.
Yeah, that.
Besides that, I think because the Goldbergs is also a series that it kind of focuses on you know, the childhood of, you know.
Yeah, but Goldbergs actually does a good job of it.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed the Goldbergs.
From what I have seen of the Goldbergs, yeah, it seems like a kind of a modern Windigers.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, I quite liked, you know, what I saw of it, and go, yeah, this isn't bad.
Plus, I mean, obviously it has kind of 80s references and styles and, yeah, which is kind of nice that it's kind of not necessarily romanticizing the era, but you can kind of feel the 80s coming off it, almost radiating.
In a good in the best possible way, though.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of get that more from Strange Things, but yeah.
Mm. Strange Things also does have it. I mean, I liked Stranger Things, but I don't think it's a series that I'm going to be able to rewatch again and again and again and again. Mm. Because it's, you know, quite very dark tonally. That's going to be one of those things that, you know, it will stick with me for quite a while.
Fair.
Yeah.
So if we were going to, out of all the things that we've just named, are we saying that we're mostly excited? What are we saying we're mostly excited for?
I've just realised.
What?
They haven't stuck on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I know that's because it's a UK list.
That's because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on a break. Because of the where it's got into the timeline of the cinematic universe now means that I think the series is on a break, basically. Okay. That's what I vaguely remember hearing in the realms of the internet.
So they kind of have to wait for it to, you know, for the films to get to a point, and then they can say, yeah, they, you know, we can come back and go, phew, it's a good job we had that Infinity Wars thing sorted out, because otherwise it would be really difficult doing our job in between all that.
So basically. So I'm really excited for Supernatural and Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, I'm very excited for Supernatural.
Who would have thunk it?
That's as surprising as me saying I am excited by Star Trek Discovery.
I'm also excited by Star Trek Discovery. Mm. I think I'm excited by the return of Riverdale, though I am still concerned by the betrayal of Jughead in that thing.
Portrayal.
But it's a betrayal as well.
Okay.
a betrayal of the character.
With that series, I still don't understand why they couldn't just do a cartoon series.
It's because it doesn't follow the tonally the comics in any way or form that older readers would understand, because the comics have changed drastically in the last few years as well. It's not happy-go-lucky.
My reaction to that would be also, then why the hell is it Riverdale, and why isn't it just like Lakedale or something, you know, completely different.
I would say they changed the comics tonally to appeal to a newer, younger audience. So the comics in themselves have got a bit darker and stuff.
A newer, younger audience that wasn't born and sort of harking back to the 1960s.
And has also had to see the horrible after effects of several global events that has made the idea of the apple pie life somewhat disgusting to even contemplate. So you kind of have to account for that in continuing it.
I have to say that if I were Jughead, then Brexit and Trump happening would kind of lead me to just sitting in a diner eating burgers all the time. Except the burgers might be gin.
Gin burgers.
And the diner might be just a hovel.
Do you know what? Either, well... it wouldn't work to soak the burger meat itself in gin because it'd evaporate off in the cooking process. But perhaps what one could do is to create some kind of gin jelly and then put that in with the patty upon the cooking of the burger. And,
so,
you know,
hang on, I'm just writing this down.
this is
it doesn't have to be just gin. It could be, you know, like vodka or whiskey. Or...
Yeah, I'm just saying, but I'm saying that you can't have the soak. I mean, you could have the meat soaked in a bit, but most of it is going to get burned off. Mm. You know, it's going to have to be some kind of boozy jelly that the burger gets served with.
What you could do is you could put the jelly on it and then, and, you know, leave the top of the, you know, the bun off and then take it to the table of the person who's on it and then light it on fire.
Mm. Yeah, that could also work.
And then you could burger it all, have a gin burger.
Or you could have the, you know, kind of burger sauce being the one, being the thing that's alcoholic.
That's also a possibility, yeah.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Riverdale.
all this might explain a lot.
I'm definitely looking forward to The Walking Dead. I know none of you are really... Well, I mean, you're up to date on it, aren't you, Retroid?
Yes. Yeah. I've been enjoying The Walking Dead. I like The Walking Dead.
How about you, Cookie?
I'm looking forward to seeing what Fox has done with the Gifted.
With the what, sorry?
Gifted.
Gifted.
Yes, the new X-Men TV series based on the teenagers.
Ah, yes. That's true.
Premieres in October.
Hmm.
Bollocks to that. Where's Legion?
Hmm.
Haven't seen that. Oh, and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is set to debut in November.
Of this year?
Straight after Inhumans.
Ah, okay. Inhumans...
I
was going to say, Inhumans hasn't been... given a good reception so far, has it really?
No, in fact, to say it's going to be interesting to see if I can actually make it through the first episode, bearing in mind what a big Marvel fan I am, after reading everything, it's going to be interesting because a lot of people actually apparently left during the first episode.
Wow.
Okay. Is that the one where they were trying to describe it as like a royal family of... mutants and it's got Loki from
Misfits of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It is indeed. 8 episodes. That is, and S.H.I.E.L.D. actually carries on straight after it, apparently.
Ooh. Are they going to be connected, do you think?
I would have imagined so. Plus, Hunter's back.
Hunter? As in for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
Ah, cool.
Yes.
Cool. I like that.
Of course, the important thing is, how many of you have finished watching Legion?
No.
It's on my to watch list. To be fair, I mean, if we watched every single TV series that we thought, oh, that actually looks kind of cool, I'll be interested in watching that at some point, we wouldn't have any time to do anything else.
This is true.
That there's watch just Legion. too many good TV series, you know, and it's kind of, you know, you it ends up monopolizing your time.
Watching some of them.
Yeah, how dare I go to a day job or anything?
Yeah, god damn it.
Or, you know, do other things with my free time, like play video games, which is something I've done a little bit more of since I last was in an episode.
Yay!
Shall we talk about what we've been up to now that we've managed to get through?
You can do, because I mean, we're kind of leading there anyway.
Yeah. Can I?
You want to start?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've been playing some more Final Fantasy 15, and whilst I was suffering today with a massive sinus headache, I took the grand step of completing the main task for chapter 1 of the game after over 8 hours of play and just pissing about in the game and figuring out how to get things to work.
And was it worth it?
It was very dramatic, the conclusion of chapter one. Very, very dramatic. Quickly followed by a conclusion of chapter two, though. It was quite surprising. You kind of didn't have much. So I'm on chapter three now. And a lot suddenly happened in quite a short period of time in terms of the game story. And now I'm kind of back to, like, it, like, loads of side quests are available for me to do. And I'm wandering off and doing things and sometimes kind of, like, getting dangerously low on health.
Are you wishing that there were more female characters in the game?
More playable female characters, yes.
More female characters, because I've seen very few of them.
Yeah, they're around, but they are very, very few and far between. It's
just like our species, because we're only, what, about 10% female humans?
Depending on which country you are in the world, you've got a split where there's more women than men, except for places like China.
You know what would be good and won't happen?
Go on.
There's a Final Fantasy 15, because it's 15, isn't it?
Yeah.
If there's a Final Fantasy 15-2 where it's an all-female cast with the occasional male character...
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but see, because people use that as a, like, people use like 10-2 as an argument for, oh, there was no female game. It's like, yes, but it's not a main iteration. It doesn't fit in the main chronology of the entire franchise. It's an extra game that reused tons of existing art and assets and source files and stuff.
Yeah, and I think I lasted about 10 minutes into it before thinking, nope.
That was actually more fan service than anything else.
Yeah, and reason that they did that was because they actually found that there were more female players playing Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, but it's also excessive fan service to male players if they're a bit pervy.
Yes.
Also, I'll point out that pretty much the Final Fantasy series has been quite largely, you know, female when it comes to, you know, the fan base and players, especially in Japan.
Yeah, so, I mean, so I'm not...
That's not a new thing.
I mean, I can't remember if I brought this up before when talking about the game since I started playing it, but there is so much, like, little moments in the game where it's a bit homoerotic and stuff. And I'm not sure if the male creators who thought that they were making a game mostly for guys, because that's what it sounds like in the interviews, realised just how much... slash fic now exists for this game. Or like, obviously, like, what's it when you call it? Is it when you sort of like have fan manga, you know, like fan manga, you essentially yaoi of like this stuff, you know, just images of guy on guy stuff. And it's just like, so we've made a game for, and it's like, and the fan base has basically just turned it into porn. There's some genfic out there, but it is like cute little things, but it is mostly porn. That all it's mostly inspired is porn, guy on guy porn.
Let's just, oh, we've created these series and we've created these characters. Let's just tap it. Hang on. Let's just Google what people think of the. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh, hang on. Right, okay, the text is just not right. I think I'll go on to Google image search. Oh my god!
The thing is, though, is that, I mean, because some media has kind of gone out of their way to be like right at the very end going, oh yeah, and by the way, the gay.
That's not going to be the case.
No, because there would have been massive outroar.
It's kind of funny, though, because they're like all being portrayed as like having like interests in members of the opposite sex, except for maybe Ignis at the moment. And it's just kind of like... Well,
is that because he's too hot?
He's the nerdy geeky one with glasses.
Oh right,
yeah.
So they're not going for stereotypes or broad strokes at all. I mean, we're talking Final Fantasy here, I know.
But yeah, so I'm not enjoying it as much as other Final Fantasies. I'm enjoying it more than Final Fantasy 13. But that's because. It doesn't feel like I'm being chucked down a corridor. Which is what most of the start of Final Fantasy 13 was. Mm.
And that's definitely the fault of the Xbox 360 and not Square biting off more than they could chew and just, you know, utterly cocking up the development.
Yeah.
I mean, it It's a good job they didn't do the same with Am I thinking of the wrong one? Which was the one that they've released about two spin-off games for?
That was Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, because you've got 13-2, and then you've got
Lightning Returns,
which was a completely different weird ass game that had.
Did you complete that?
No, because I got really freaking bored of its time mechanics. And the costume situation in that, because there was a costume situation, was very reminiscent of 10-2 in terms of the fan service.
Also, with that, the time mechanic, or we've got all these bits cut out from the main game that we didn't have time to complete.
No, it's got like this. It's got this weird kind of like, what was it? I'm just looking. Almost a little bit like the, like you can only go so far forward. Like mechanics of like Unlimited Saga a tiny bit, but then chucked in with a couple of other time limitation things and stuff, and you have to do over days. So it's like a weird mix between Unlimited Saga, obviously Final Fantasy 13, and
Majora's Mask.
Yeah, and it's just it's fucking annoying. I just gave up on it. I was just like, I have to say
that's one thing that I disliked about Majora's Mask is the time mechanic. Oh no, the entire game is built around it, but just the frustration that you feel when, you know, you kind of get somewhere and, you know, you have to kind of go back to the beginning of the first day again and you lose all your shit.
So I'm enjoying Final Fantasy 15 more than the previous Final Fantasy 13 games. I think that is perhaps a good thing in its book.
See, I kind of enjoyed Final Fantasy 13, despite the fact that it's basically like a massive prologue, and then you get to a wide open area, and then a tiny bit of game at the end. And it's that wide open area that's like, you know, really
fun.
Yeah. that's why you do all the grinding and whatnot.
Curiously enough, that's the bit of was it Lost Odyssey, which I fell off on the Xbox 360 exclusive one, which was I really enjoyed much more than the Final Fantasies I'd played, apart from, you know, the 2D one.
Lost Odyssey had a brutal leveling system in terms of how much time you had to put in to get anything.
Yeah.
You've reached this point of the game and you can't really do anything apart from grind and level up here because we're going to repeatedly kick your ass.
Yeah.
And it was, you know what, I can't be arsed.
I mean, I think it and Resonance of Fate had like a heavy amount of grinding in them on 360. Just insane. I can't remember if Resonance of Fate came out on anything else, but I played on 360. But yeah, for like two Japanese RPGs, it was just like, how much grinding?
I think that was the last time. I think that was the last time that you really got into a Japanese RPG.
Yeah, I completed it. And it wasn't a Final Fantasy. Okay, so Final Fantasy 15, I've been playing that. I also started watching The Wire for the first time. That has been about 6 or 7 episodes, I think, maybe 8 into season 1.
Have you witnessed the devil down in the hole?
I don't think so. So that's been interesting to like catch up with this iconic piece of television, because it gets referenced not just by like fans and stuff, but it's like majorly referenced in books about screenwriting for television as well, for like drama.
Yeah.
So it is worth watching. Slowly letting like all the slang and stuff like sink into you, so that you just slowly get an understanding of what certain groups are talking about. But,
yeah. And there are character arcs which they do very interesting things with.
Yeah. So The Wire. Also been watching with Paul Westworld season 1, which with nearing probably the end of that first season, and some weird ass stuff's been going on. There's twists, and I wasn't expecting a certain twist, and when it happened I was just like, whoa.
It's quite nice to actually feel surprised by a twist nowadays.
So that was the thing that happened.
And I kind of like the fact that it kind of completely takes a different perspective on things than the film of the, was it 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah. As part of the, you know, watching Westworld, we also rewatched the, you know, the film.
Mm.
And it's surprising how quick the film is. It's only maybe about 80 minutes at most. And it's just, yeah, it's just, it's over with very quickly. And I just think, you know, there could have been far more done with this.
Hence a really good TV series that was up for Emmys. I wonder if it won any of them.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it, there was a little bit of a gap between the film and the series.
Yeah. I mean, on this podcast, we've always theorized that when a film doesn't reach its potential because the concept of it is far bigger than the film contained, it's much better to do it as a TV series, and this is a prime example of what it, what, you know, a decent.
Yeah, but then I suppose when the original film came out, there's no way they could have done half of what they've done. And because nobody had the understanding of the kind of technology that would have been involved.
It's not just that, but they wouldn't have the budget to make it look good.
Yeah.
And also all the philosophical questions of what is sentience, what is intelligence, what is self, what is soul. Nerds like us would have just eaten it up. But yeah, the, you know, the wider populace, it was, you know, they're robots, aren't they? just kind of had to, you know, seep more into popular culture with the whole idea that maybe a robot isn't just a robot.
I mean, the whole fact that robot, was it the Czech word for slave or something?
Yes.
Let's see. So, first of all, is there anything else? I feel like that's everything I've been up to. Other than rewatching Gilmore Girls a little bit for some chill. Oh, wait, no, I remember now. I'm reading. I bought a book on my Kindle, a very interesting book.
This may upset some people and delight others.
I bought What Happened by Hillary Clinton. It is an eye-opening and horrific read due to the events it covers and obviously from the angle of which it covers it. And it's just, you really... I mean, I really feel for Hillary Clinton after only going through a couple of chapters. I'm just like, oh, yeah. And then also feeling sorry for the nation of America at the same time. And then after that, like, the entire world. There's a lot of pain.
Yeah. especially when you have, you know, just other world leaders and they're having to deal with him. And, you know, he comes along and says, oh, you know, you're doing a crap job because of these things. And they're just standing there going... Oh, fuck.
But there's loads of little lines in the book, which is obviously, like, you know, it's part biographical, autobiographical. Yeah. There's these moments in it where she sort of says a certain thing about, like, what Trump's basically got up to since his inauguration. And you can just imagine her sort of, like, just reading this book out loud in front of you and then turning to break the fourth wall and going, but those emails...
So what you're saying is that there should be a Netflix series of Hillary Clinton playing herself,
and basically
the memoirs.
And then every so often she just looks directly at you in the eye and just goes, oh, but those emails. Basically.
I think she could maybe just read it and then you could have Ron Howard doing, you know, the voice of the narrator.
Mm.
From Arrested Development,
yeah.
I think that would because, you know, and then of course it couldn't get worse than that. Narrator, it got worse.
So that's what I've been up to. I better cede the floor to somebody else.
Retroid.
While I remember everything that I've watched recently, let's see. We embarked on an epic rewatch of Twin Peaks and then launched straight into the new season of Twin Peaks. So everything would be, you know, fresh in our noggins.
Okay.
And, I liked it. I think I liked it more than Mrs. Me. But yeah, I'm coming away from it and thinking that the new season could have been a quarter of the length.
Wow.
Easily, and had everything contained in it. And you know, there's something to be said for taking your time.
Mm.
But there's also something to be said for you can move this shit along faster than this, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I think filler is one of those things that that's generally tends to be what happens when you have like a concept and the, you know, kind of studios or the people, you know, paying you pretty much turn around and say, no, we want this many episodes.
Yeah. I mean, apart from watching the new episodes and the reaction being, oh God, everyone's so nearly dead. So, you know, when you've been watching something that was filmed in 91 and then you're seeing things that have been filmed, you know, over 20 years later. Like the sad fact that the log lady was very ill through filming. And I think they recorded her parts early and they've just sort of edited them in. She was very ill and she died. I think 2 years ago.
Oh, blimey.
So they dedicated the first episode to the actress.
Mm.
And then when they kill her character, because that's not a spoiler. Because, you know, in the first time she appears, she says, I'm dying.
Okay.
And she just, you know, like talks on the phone to, you know, one of the other characters. Mm. Further into the season when she said, you know, that's it, I'm going to die. They then dedicate the, that episode to the character, which I thought was a nice touch.
That is.
So she gets two dedications for it. So, I quite like that. But yeah, I'll just say, if you watch the new season, it would definitely help to have some backstory from the, you know, the original series, but maybe not that required. You could, you know, just read, you know, some of the wiki or, you know, pick the rest of it up.
Okay.
But yeah, don't give up until episode 8.
Then give up.
Well, if you watch episode 8, because that's the one where we were going, with this new series and thinking, well, was it a mistake to bring it back? And then you watch episode 8 and you just think, I've not watched TV like that. That was weird. I don't know what happened in that, but that was quite good.
Mm.
And I want more. And the great shame of it is there's not quite enough of episode 8 to spread around throughout the entire season.
Hmm.
Let's see. What else have we been watching? Preacher season 2.
Ooh.
Yes.
And we've been really enjoying that. As others have said, and I said when, you know, we first watched it, the first season was a bit slow.
Hmm.
And it's the first season was kind of a prequel to it in a way. It was just kind of introducing some of the things about the characters and, you know, the arse end of nowhere town that Preacher had his church and all that kind of thing. And when it comes to the second season, bloody hell.
Does the speed ramp up then?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Coming to Preacher Season 2 after watching Twin Peaks it was a little bit like, I'm going to walk off this train now. Oh, the train is going full speed. So I'm going to stroll out this door. Whoa! Platform! Everything's going really quickly. yeah, it's quite good, and it introduces several things from the, you know, the comic, like a certain organization that dedicated to preserving something religious, which won't go into here, but yeah, they go to a few places that I remember from the comics when I was first reading them, and thinking I didn't think they'd be doing this on TV, but it turns out they are. And yeah, really quite good. Oh, and also the first episode, if I haven't sold it enough with just it's very good, you should watch it, and it's faster than the first season. The first episode has a car chase to the tune of Come On Eileen.
Nice.
So yeah, it's very good and everyone should watch it.
Cool. Sweet. Cool. So, Cookie?
I have been, much to Retro's dismay, or he'll think this, I've been rewatching Tortured.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you was going to say Star Trek Voyager.
No.
No, Matt, I heard it as Tortured, and I was right the first time.
No, Tortured. I've been rewatching that due to Big Finish doing season 5. So I thought we'd get reacquainted with Captain Jack through the first few seasons. They had some very interesting ideas, and I still quite enjoy it, actually. Characters are there, which is cool.
I'm glad someone did.
Well, yeah, somebody had to, didn't they?
So, what did you think of the episode with the Cyber Lady?
I skipped that one.
Oh, go on!
No, I skipped it. The Cyber Lady one was a bit crap, yes.
A bit crap.
Yes.
Tunguska was a little bit of a bang.
Sorry. They can't all be perfect.
The dinosaurs were wiped out by a small whoopsie from space.
I've been doing that. And I've also been watching the BBC series Strike, which is based on J.K. Rowling's detective novel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The Cuckoo Calling and Silkworm. Yeah, I was quite intrigued by it when I realised that it was actually produced by J.K. Rowling. And the actual books were written by Robert Galbraith, which is actually J.K. Rowling. But she wanted to write them in a different name to see if they actually still sold. Which is quite interesting.
But which of them is a wizard?
None of them, actually, no.
But you then bollocks to it, I don't care.
No, they are quite a good drama. It's nice very well characters. And you can't help but like this little private detective, one-legged private detective. He used to be a military policeman until his leg got blown off.
I mean, to be fair, I think a wizarding detective series probably would actually be quite cool.
Yeah.
Isn't that Fantastic Creatures and Where to Find Them? More or less.
Is that necessarily a detective?
No.
Kind of.
I'd class it more as just a classic adventure.
Yeah.
A romp.
But
hasn't been ruined by porn in the 1980s and
70s. So yeah, Strike, worth a watch if you like J.K. Rowling. Some nice characters there. And I watched Electric Dreams last night as well.
Ooh, how's that going?
It was quite intriguing, yes, definitely. I can see why people are calling it Channel 4's next Black Mirror, definitely. Very dark, very surreal. Makes you think, and sort of the twist at the end just messed with your head. Oh, crikey.
Sorry, just choking.
Apparently that was quite a twist.
Yeah, definitely. And that's all I've been up to, really.
Can I just I'll swoop in, even though Dragon Age just told us that swooping is bad, and say now, and this is also a question to use if any of you have seen it. Mm-hmm. We started watching Winona Earp because we finished, we finished Twin Peaks, we finished Preacher season 2, and we thought, okay, this is a lady gunslinger.
God. No.
Yeah, now, my question is, we've watched the first four episodes. Does it get less shit?
This is interesting because I've been told, as a Supernatural fan, I should watch Wynonna Earp, and I'm kind of like, is it also legitimately available in the United Kingdom, or is Dave Internet helping you?
It's Netflix.
Netflix.
Netflix has got it. Got that hidden well.
And
there's a reason for that, Emily.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. This is one of those where we watched Van Helsing.
Yeah.
You know, a little while ago, and you know, we quite enjoyed that. Looked up reviews, you know, for that, and it was getting on IMDb, it was getting, you know, like 7.2 or, you know, something like that. And then, you know, I looked up Wynonna Earp, and it's getting, you know, like 8.5 and 8.7s and such for episodes.
How?
We're watching the episodes and we're thinking,
how?
Are they on drugs? Because, you know, did they get dropped on their heads before they watched these episodes? You know, when they gave their reviews? Because, we're watching them, and, you know, I quite like sort of, you know, pulpy modern retellings of, you know, of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, this is a bit crap.
So for all those people that have been, because why are people saying it's good?
I honestly don't know.
Like, I need to get the clear kind of distinction here, well, comparison, Retroid. Supernatural versus the show. Who wins?
I prefer Supernatural.
Okay.
Well, put it this way.
I think the worst Supernatural episodes probably still make more sense.
Holy fuck.
I don't watch much I don't watch Supernatural, as you are fully aware. But I have actually watched more episodes of Supernatural than Wynonna Earp. I watched the first 40 minutes of the first episode and switched it off.
And you watch Arrow. And Flash.
Yeah, and? Your point being?
And Torchwood!
Yes, and you've watched four episodes of Wynonna fucking Earp.
I'm seriously, yeah, but at least we're sitting there going, this must improve soon, you know, because...
Yeah, you keep having faith, my son, and you might actually find it.
Well,
I'm not in that fucking series, you know.
I've watched plenty of series where, you know, they're a bit rocky, but you can tell that there's something there. With this, you know, if no one, you know, if no one else knows what the premise is, the basis is the great-great-great-great-great or whatever granddaughter of Wyatt Earp grew up in a town called Purgatory.
Well, hey.
And the idea, you know, because just check down which other series this is a rip-off of. There's a gateway to hell in Purgatory, so you could say it's a mouth to hell or a hell mouth. And you have a heroine who is, you know, who has a supernatural curse / power that has been passed down, you know, across her bloodline, and it's just.
Does she have any special weapons?
Oh yes, she has. And Emily, I look forward to seeing your, you know, well, hearing your reaction to this. She has a gun which has got inscriptions and spells on it, and it's the only thing which can destroy.
It's like it's a Buffy and Supernatural ripoff to the extreme.
Yes,
with a dose of eerie Indiana thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, the whole idea is that the bad people who are killed in the area cannot leave the town of Purgatory, or it's, you know, it's kind of a triangle. And what happened in the first episode is that she. Wynonna Earp is returning to attend a funeral, which happened, you know, and the person died in strange circumstances.
Woo!
And it's like blah blah blah, and there happens to be an FBI agent, but though he's not really FBI, so could he be FBI? Yes, it actually is FBI, but it's kind of a strange sort of shadow organization which is the FBI, but not really.
Oh my god.
And he ends up deputising Winona Earp because, you know, she's the one who knows some of the shit in the, that happens in the town.
This sounds like fan fiction. Not necessarily good fan fiction.
It kind of watches as fan fiction.
That's
and,
not reassuring.
Yeah. She has a younger sister who they had a third sister, but they lost her and their father, and Winona is feeling all guilty because she accidentally shot her father with the magic gun when the house got attacked because of the dawning of the curse, and you know her father.
I think Stop.
Yeah, it's just yeah, and yeah, when she shoots, oh, they've got glowing eyes and they keep coming back. These revenants, and then when she sends them to hell, there's a special effect which is straight out of a 90s PS1 game, where it sort of deforms, you know, the earth, and it claws them back, and they sort of claw, you know, try and claw their, you know. Keep hold of the earth, but they get sucked down to hell, and then it sort of like, you know, just gloop back up. And it's like, yeah, that cost about £2.50, didn't it? I think you used a PS1 to make that effect. But that's yeah, it's just, so. Yeah, does it get better? And the answer seems to be no.
Tell us next week once you've watched this.
Oh, God, no.
I really don't know if we can be asked. If there's anything.
Take one for the team.
Only if you watch the Cyber Lady episode of Torchwood.
Okay, deal.
Oh my God.
Oh God damn it.
That's one episode versus the rest of the season.
I feel like we should give somebody else a chance to talk about what they've been up to.
Yes. Oh.
Yes, that'll be me. What have I been up to? So I have been playing Mario X Rabbids.
Ooh.
Which is actually quite good. Surprisingly,
been getting some very favourable reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think it's been described as kind of XCOM in a Mario skin.
Hang on, what?
That's what I've heard. I've never actually played XCOM, yeah. So
it has been.
Hang on, what?
Yes,
I'll have you know that one of the there's the very XCOM-y Rebel Star game came out on the Game Boy Advance, so it's on a Nintendo format. So you've got no excuse.
I don't play every single Nintendo game ever released. You do realise that, don't you?
Is everyone else getting this down?
I want to hear more about Rabbids versus Mario.
Okay. Well, the storyline is basically that, things go wrong. The rabbits end up merging parts of the Mushroom Kingdom with, well, themselves and their, you know, whatnot. And so you've got kind of amalgamations of stuff that is very, very Mario, but with sometimes like bunny ears and whatnot associated with the Rabbids. To be honest, I've never actually played a Rabbids game, but it's quite fun. It's quite fun.
I'll say, in all fairness to this game,
yeah,
that I've heard lots of good things about it.
Yeah,
and also there was the video of one of the, you know, the directors, I think he was, you know, one of the directors, designers, but, you know, one of the senior people involved with the game.
Yeah.
Who just seemed to be, you know, crying with joy at his game finally, you know, being trailered by Nintendo.
Mm.
Yeah.
When it was, you know, first, you know, properly announced that it was coming out this year. And it's like, okay, you know, if someone's that bloody pleased to see their game and it's getting, you know, lots of positive feedback from it, it's like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so you kind of pick a roster from out of 8 characters. So you've always got Mario in your party. But you've got Luigi or Rabbid Luigi. You've got Peach or Rabbid Peach. You've got Yoshi or Rabbid Yoshi or Rabbid Mario.
I'm hearing Rabbid.
Well,
as in, like have rabies.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're called, aren't they? The rabbids.
Yes.
So, I'm just imagining a rabid Mario
peach frothing at the mouth.
Peach. Yeah. And also, if this was XCOM, you'd be sending them out to die first.
Mm. Well, I mean, that you know, there's a fair amount of humour in there. In both kind of general storyline of it.
I can't imagine this being taken seriously. So yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. But the gameplay is, it's pretty good. You've got obviously kind of different phases between your turn and the enemy's turns. And you kind of control all of your characters, and then the enemy controls all of their characters. And, you know, you can have different things like moving and shooting and special abilities and whatnot. And you kind of get to do all those within your turn. And you can kind of switch it over so that you're using this character first or that character first. And you can kind of generally tend to move and gun. And it's kind of up to your decision as to which order that goes in. So, you know, you can shoot somebody and then kind of run behind cover.
Sweet.
So it's you know, got quite a bit of strategy to it.
This sounds a bit weird.
To be honest, it is really a bit weird, you know, for me. But it's quite cool. It's quite cool. So
good to me.
Yeah. And I've had two driving lessons now.
Hey, nice one. Congratulations.
Thank you. Those are going very well.
Good.
And
well, you're still here to talk to us, so they're going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So I think that's about.
Mind you, can we just speak briefly of the Rick and Morty we watched the other day?
Okay, yes.
But without spoiling it.
Rick and Morty, because, watching weekly Netflix.
Interesting things happened.
Anybody else watch Rick and Morty?
No.
I'm up to about episode 4.
What of
the first season.
Oh, man. What are you thinking of it so far?
I like it, but it's also a bit much.
A bit much? In what way?
Just in the way it will keep hammering an idea. And it's like, yeah, we are clever for thinking of this thing. It's like, well, yeah, it's a clever enough concept, but I can kind of see it's a clever enough concept. You don't need to keep banging at it. It seems a little bit too pleased with itself. Is my best way of putting it.
Hmm. Okay.
But I'm still enjoying it, and
it's definitely a series that we've managed to get most of our friends into.
And so. I will, repeat something which occurred on Twitter.
Okay.
Where there are people who genuinely think they are the Rick in their groups of friends. And first of all,
wow,
Rick is not someone to aspire to be.
No, absolutely not.
He is a self-interested asshole. He is at least sociopathic.
Yes.
And I just think anyone who thinks, oh yeah, I am definitely the Rick in this in this group of friends, I'm sorry to say, you're the Morty.
Well, even worse, the Jerry.
The last one I watched, this is an example of how early on in the whole thing I am. It was the one where it's the aliens trying to steal the recipe for concentrated dark matter.
Ah, yes, yeah.
And they put him in a simulation. Or they put them all in a simulation, and they accidentally grab Jerry as well. And he gives that presentation for apples, which is hungry for apples. And he has the best day of his life because the aliens realize that he's an idiot, and he's such an idiot that not only does he not know anything scientific, but he's not noticed anything odd about the simulation, so they put everything at the lowest possible setting in his part of the simulation, which leads to some great sort of computer gamey humor, where you have characters who are just glitching and sticking halfway out of a tree and repeating lines of dialogue and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's as far along as I am, and already it's just, you do not aspire to be Rick.
Oh, absolutely not.
Just no.
I mean, I think, you know, the fact that the main character is such an incredibly flawed character is kind of part of the point, you know.
Well, yeah, he, you know, everything's turned up to, you know, 11.
Mm.
You know, Rick is, you know, he's brilliant, but he's also deeply broken and doesn't give a shit.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and of course Morty is Marty, but even more clueless.
Yes.
And far less streetwise. So yeah, it's just everything turned up to 11, and you know, I like that about the characters, but it's like, yeah. So I'm sort of plugging through it.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
Maybe I will get more on its wavelength later on.
Hmm. I mean, it does get some... I think the one thing that I really enjoy about it is the fact that it kind of does kind of protrude science out as to what it could be. Like, science could theoretically solve, like, almost any problem type thing. And, you know, Rick knows this. And he does this, and by doing that, he kind of makes life a bit pointless.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it makes sense on a philosophical level, despite the fact that it's kind of a sci-fi show.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've also got another friend who, you know, keeps trying to push me to watch it and get, you know, I'll visit him and it'll be, oh, you know, here. I'll put on an episode of Rick and Morty and say, do I have a choice in this? No, you don't! I said, oh, okay. And watched one episode where something goes wrong with something Rick is doing and he basically destroys the world.
Ah, yes, that one.
And they just go to an alternate reality because it's, well, I fucked everything up here.
Hmm.
Let's just go to this other reality and then kill the Rick and the Morty that are there.
Well, to be fair, they weren't the ones to kill the Rick. It was more of a kind of diverge in the timelines where basically they succeeded in their mission of, you know, reverting the place back. But Rick and Morty were, you know, kind of killed in the process. So
yeah, and it's just, well, okay. And because of the type of series it is, they can just do that kind of thing because it's, yeah, it doesn't matter. Everyone dies. But they don't because we've got, you know, all this sci-fi bullshit to, you know, fall back on at any point we want because why not? We've got such a bastard as a main character that we can do shit like this and there's no repercussion.
Well, I mean, in a way, there are repercussions later on. It does obviously get referenced in a couple of different ways.
Mm.
So,
well, spoilers. but yeah, I know I'm behind the curve with not watching.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think that anybody should push another person into shows. They should, you know, be like, you should watch this, and maybe even, you know, stick on an episode for them, you know, if they're willing. But you know, it's always bad when, you know, a friend turns around and says, "Oh, you really need to watch this." They stick on like an episode and, you know, kind of get you to almost like binge watch it there and then, and you're just like not feeling it.
Yeah, well, as an example of that, I've got a personal example of that where I am a, you know, I love Douglas Adams still. So, you know, I grew up loving Hitchhikers and, you know, read the books, watched the TV series, listened to the radio show, fuck the film, not interested. Big fan of it, and, you know, occasionally I'll make a reference. But my wife's friend, that she grew up with, at her school, was such a fan of it and just would constantly bang on about it all the bloody time, to the extent that it just put my wife, you know, completely off ever bothering with it because she was just sick to death or being told.
Yeah.
About how great it was and how she had to see it and references to it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you say, well, no bollocks to it. I've just been put off it.
Mm.
And that can happen.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention the fact that if, you know, you do eventually watch it, it's not going to live up to the hype either.
Yeah. I mean, if you have someone who says, this is good and, you know, all that kind of thing, and they'll, you know, give you opportunities to see it, you know. Mm. That's great, but if someone constantly bangs on about something all the bloody time, it's just going to drive you mad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I get that.
But now, speaking of Douglas Adams, it does make me wonder whether there's going to be like a second season of, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective
Agency? Oh, no, there is.
There is definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed that.
Hmm. Same. Anyway, I think that's all we've actually got time for, so it's a good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul, a.k.a. 100_cookie on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EK6891.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter's at Paul Blewett. You can find show notes over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. We're also on Twitter.
At Nerds Podcast.
At Nerds Podcast. Google Plus, Facebook. You could find the episodes themselves over on Stitcher as well.
And iTunes.
And iTunes. I think that's all the plugging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. So, good night.
Oh, episode 207, bring your Harry Potter suit and hat and, you know, just a rewatch and all reading of the books. Episode 207. So it's episode a bit away. That's our next special episode, hopefully. Harry Potter. Okay.
Potter on.
Harry Potter.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.